Lord, we thank you and we bless you. Thank you, Lord, from the worship to the word, Lord. Thank you for touching our hearts, Lord, giving us clarity, giving us rest, giving us peace in the midst of confusion, giving us comfort, Lord, when we might want to be anxious or worried. So we thank you for the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God, being here and just moving throughout this place, Lord. We just ask that your presence, your Holy Spirit, continue to move throughout, touch hearts, heal, deliver, set free, Lord. We thank you for your word. We thank you that it's a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path, God. As we try our best to navigate through a dark, fallen, broken, dying, decaying world, Lord, we have your word. Yes. It's a lamp, it's a light, it illuminates, God. So we don't have to stumble in the darkness. We don't have to run into walls. We just have to follow your word and be led by the Holy Spirit of God. So we thank you for the blueprint, the roadmap on how to live, God, how to live an abundant and victorious life. Speak to us now, Lord. We open our hearts. We open our minds. We ask that you would open our hearts and minds so we can receive what God is speaking to us this morning. We love you, Lord. We bless you and we thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we are in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and we are, believe it or not, we are trying to conclude the message. Why y'all laughing? We are trying to conclude the message as we are journeying through the wilderness. And let me give you the definition of the wilderness. I know some of you are taking notes, and I tell you to take notes. I have notes on my notes. God's always speaking. Amen. That's what I tell my kids when they went off to college. I told them, I didn't tell them what to do. I didn't tell them what not to do. I just told them, God speaks in each and every situation. Just make sure you're listening. That's it, family, parents. That's all we can do. Don't do this. Don't do that. Are you kidding me? So you're going to be at home. I'm going to be in my college dorm. You're going to tell me what to do and what not to do? God speaks in each and every situation. Make sure you're listening. God speaks through his word. Take notes. Write it down. You will forget. Somebody say amen. Oh, I remember that when I get home. I write it down and get home and go, what did the pastor say? What was God speaking? So here's a definition of the wilderness as I was studying. And I'm trying to, we're talking about going through the wilderness. But what is the wilderness? So here's the wilderness. We've already talked about the world being a wilderness. But the wilderness is the journey, the road, or the path that you are currently on as you travel to the place, position, and ministry that God has preordained for you. Let me say that again, so we're clear of what this whole wilderness thing is. It's the journey, the road, the path. It's the life that you are currently leading, you are currently on. As you travel to the place, the position, and ministry that God has preordained for you, it's a place that we're trying to go to. As we travel through the wilderness, just like the children of Israel, they were traveling. It was a place they were trying to go, the promised land that God had for them. Remember, it was a 11-day trip that took 40 years, and most of them, half, did not make it. So Paul is telling us, you got to be careful, because just like they didn't make it, you can be a child of God and not make it to the promised place that God has for you. Hear what I'm not saying. As a true believer, you can't lose your salvation. Somebody say amen. As a true believer. Now, if you're playing, you ain't never had it. But as a true believer, you can't lose your salvation, but you can live an unfulfilled life, a jacked up life, and never experience the promise and the plan and the peace that God has for your life. Amen. So this message is for us who are trying to be mature. So we got to put on our grown folks pants and our grown folks dress. Amen. Because it's living at a higher level. It's not business as usual. As we used to say, it's deep, but it's not complicated. All right, so here we go. Kathy, I got a bunch of read this, so when I get there, I got to read it, okay? Okay. So we pick it up at 10 and 1, and Paul says, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant empty-headed, how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. So make a note. Paul said, you can't be ignorant about our history. Paul is talking about history. Who's with me this morning? Darius, quickly take us to Ephesians 4:4. So Paul is saying, as believers, as we've accepted Christ, we're new creation. So our history is different. It's not the history that's influenced this satanically influenced history of the world. We're new creations, new creatures. We've been born again. So you got a new history. If you've been born again, you got a new history. You actually have a new father because you've been born again. So he said, look, don't be ignorant about the history. Ephesians 4:4. E-P-H-E-S-I-A-N-S. There you go. All right. There you go. Thank you, Brother Darius. So look what Paul is saying. There is one body, one spirit, even as you're called in the hope of your calling. So we're one body of Christ. All right. We all got the same father. You're my brother. You're my sister. Whether you like it or not, if you're born again, if you're saved. OK, that's why it eliminates all the racism and all this kind of stuff. So here's Paul talking. When we were on our trip last week, we're in Greece. We're running the Greek Christians. They don't look like us, but we got the same father. Ooh, that's deep. All right. You hear what I'm saying? This eliminates all that racism and all the other kind of stuff. If you are a true believer and follower of Christ, because there's one body, one spirit. The next one, Darius. Next scripture. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. So then we're in Turkey. We're traveling through Ephesus, where Paul preached to the Ephesians. And we meet the Turkish Christians, Brother Tommy, and guess what? They don't look like us, but we got the same father. We're talking about the same God. We're talking about the same baptism. We're talking about the same resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul went over to Ephesus in Turkey, preached the gospel. They got saved. What's the next one say, Darius? One God, oh, look at that, and Father of all, who is above all and through all, and in you all through the power of the Holy Spirit. So we got a new history. So Paul has to make that clear first off, so you don't get caught up in all this other stuff that's been satanically influenced, because Satan is the god of this world, and you would know that if you read your Bible. So when we look at this world history, we got to realize it's a slant on it because it's been satanically influenced. So Paul gets that out the way. Here's Paul, who's a Jew, who's a Roman, who's speaking to the Greeks about Israelites and saying those are our fathers passed through the fire, passed through the cloud. Let me say it again. Paul, who's a Roman, speaking to the Greeks at Corinth. Let's go back to Corinthians, Brother Darius. Here's Paul, who's a Jew and a Roman, speaking to the Greeks at Corinth, who are now Christians. Paul's also a Christian, talking about the Israelites, saying this is a part of our family now. Sister Tanya, that's part of our history. Brother D, that's part of our history. All right? He said, I don't want you to be ignorant about how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. Amen? Amen. Verse 2, and we're all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And you know that we all get baptized in obedience to the word of God. Jesus was baptized. He tells us to be baptized, not to be saved, but to identify with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Baptism doesn't save you. Somebody say amen. It has been taught that baptism saves you at some churches, but that's not the scripture. We talked last week about the thief on the cross. Jesus told him, today you're going to be with me in paradise. He didn't say, wait, you got to speak in tongues. You got to get baptized. You got to get yourself together and then you can come with me. He said, today. Amen. Just come because you've accepted me as your Lord and Savior. Amen. He takes us just as we are, but he loves us too much to leave us like that. Somebody say amen. I love that. Hey, I'll take you as you are, but I'm not going to let you. You can't stay like that. And that's a good thing. Somebody say amen. Amen. They all did eat, verse 3, they all did eat the same spiritual meat. We know that we take communion now. We do the bread and the wine. All did drink the same, verse 4, all did drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Make a note, Jesus Christ was with them in the wilderness. because we know as part of the Trinity, Jesus Christ is God. So now we have the living water inside of us, which is Jesus Christ. Verse 5, but with many of them, God was not well pleased. So make a note. They had everything, but with many of them, they had nothing. God was not well pleased. So we're talking about the children of God that he's not pleased with. And that's a problem. And so then I was just thinking, I was thinking, and you all just kind of think too, and when we were children, just think about it. Now we know that we're children of God, but when we were children, how important was it to please your parents? And especially your dad. All right? Just think about it. I mean, men, whether your dad was there or not, I mean, you know you wanted to please your dad. Or you wanted to have a relationship with your dad. You want your dad to be proud of you. You wanted your mom to be proud of you. Youth, we really want to have, those of us that have kids, we really want our kids, we want to be pleased with our kids. Somebody say amen. And you know, for me, it was, I had my mom and my dad, right? So, but I have to admit, I lived for pleasing my dad. I really did. Even with the gang influence, it was certain things I wouldn't do because I would have to come home and explain it to my dad. And I would act all big and bad and tough, but I came home and, hey, Dad, yes, sir. Son, how was your day? Oh, Dad, it was great. And I played the game. The way I would please my dad and my mom, I would go to school, and I liked school. My mom and dad made education really fun for all eight of us. And so I'd have, I'd do well on my report card. So I'd bring it home pleasing them. Can I go to the park? Oh, sure, son. Can I go? And I had three older brothers, which is a whole nother story, right? We'll talk about that because Paul's going to talk about examples. So I get to that a little bit later. But my report card was A's and B's. And so, can I go to the party with my brother? Can I go to the party with Lavelle? Oh, yeah, sure, son. Man, you're such a good kid. I know. Thanks, Dad. So then we leave the house together, and he go with his homeboys. I go with my homeboys. We meet up at the park at 12:30 because you know you can't come back home without your brother. So you know that. We did that once, never again. But then do we transfer that now? I mean, it was so important to please dads. And men, research shows, whenever you want to try and sound smart, you say Harvard studies show. Harvard studies show, no, actually this was focused on the family, that a horrible dad is better than no dad at all, if you can believe that. The research shows that the worst dad in the home is better than no dad in the home at all. That's hard to believe. It's focused on the family. And then the research also shows, this is for us men, and ladies, it's no slight to you all. I mean, you all are amazing. My mom was incredible, but for some reason, the research shows that the most influential person in a child's life is their dad. You see why the enemy is always attacking families and trying to get the dad out of there. Never wants the dad to come to church. Never wants the dad to get filled with the Spirit to live a life pleasing to God. So we got all these distractions. Because the enemy knows that the most influential person in a child's life, regardless of where they are or what they're doing, is their dad. So, men, I wrote that we don't have to badger or manipulate our children. We just need to be there and love and support our children. That's all, because we're the most influential person in their life already. We have more influence on our children than anything or anyone else outside of God. So make a note. We don't have to play Holy Spirit by telling them what to do and what not to do. We just have to pray to the Holy Spirit to lead and guide them. Let God work out the details. So in verse 5 it says, but with many of them God was not well pleased. for they were killed on the side of the road in the wilderness. So they died on the side of the road in the wilderness. So let me put it with the definition. So they died on the side of the road when they were on the journey, trying to get to the place and the position and the ministry that God had preordained for them. They never got there. And that's the sad thing, that these were the children of God. This is you and I. And God's saying you can be saved, but you can, and you will never get to the place. And I've shared this before. That's one of my biggest fears, that God would say, man, I could have did so much more with your life if you just would have trusted me. If you would have surrendered, if you would have just stopped holding on to that little stuff and gave it to me. So here we go. Now we got to put on our grown folks' clothes now. In verse 6, it says, now these things were our examples. Okay, the word in the Greek example is T-U-P-O-S, tupos. This is our warning. This was a pattern. This is our teaching. Paul said they were examples. All this stuff is our examples. And I'm telling you this now. The enemy doesn't have to change the game when the game plan works. For those of us that are coached, you need to know what your opponent is doing. How are you going to win the game if you don't even know what your opponent is doing? The strategies, you got to study your plays, but then you have to know what the enemy is trying to do. So Paul said, here's five things that the enemy, that he doesn't even have to change because they always work, and you and I need to be aware of them. These are examples. These are warnings. These are teachings. This is the pattern. Why? Here we go. So we're not walking around fooling ourselves, thinking that our life and lifestyle is pleasing to God. When in reality, we're walking around deceived by Satan, filled with pride, arrogance, narcissist, jealous, and overinflated ego, lust, greed, and chasing false gods. Paul said, I got to let you know. That's why they didn't make it. And I'm telling you, Paul is talking to the church at Corinth. He's saying, look at these examples. They didn't make it. And the way you guys are going, you're not going to make it. So I got these little fancy words that I put together, right? So Paul is telling them, and God's telling us, he doesn't want us living a deceived life. Number one, he doesn't want you fooled by your flesh. Number two, he doesn't want you guided by your greed. Number three, God doesn't want us led by our lust, deceived by our deeds. What number am I on now?
Four.
This is number four coming up?
No,
all right, number five. Number five, he doesn't want us prompted by our passions. You have no self-control. Whatever your passions say, you jump right on it. And then number six, he doesn't want us fueled by our feelings. My feelings control me. However I feel, that's how I get down. I have no self-control. And then what it leads to is number seven, is backwards in bondage. So Paul is saying these are examples because they were trying to go back into bondage. Let me say it again. God doesn't want us fooled by our flesh, guided by our greed, led by our lust, deceived by our deeds, thinking I can do the right things and I don't need God. It's a lot of good people that's not going to make it. We had that conversation with our youth this morning in our purpose and purity class. You can be the best person ever. But the Bible says when we present our best to God, it's still filthy rags. And all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We need God. So we can't be deceived by our deeds because we're doing some good things. And yes, we should. But that doesn't get you into heaven. That's what Paul is telling them. Don't be prompted by your passions. Don't be fueled by your feelings, which leads to going backwards into bondage. Verse 6, now these were our examples. I told you I had, it was eight of us. I had three older brothers. And so if an example is a warning, somebody say amen. Anybody else had older siblings? Let's just say this. I learned a lot. Somebody say amen. Good, bad, and ugly. I had Joe, I had Lloyd, I had Lavelle. I learned a lot from those guys, what to do and what not to do. It's examples. Paul is saying, here's our examples right here, verse 6. Now, these are examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. So what do you do for 40 years in the wilderness and miss out on God? You lust after evil things. Bad nature, wicked, wrong, injurious, destructive, harmful. Now, we've already gone over this. I'm just wrapping this up. You can go on the website and you'll see the whole series on the wilderness. So I'm not going to take it as deep as because we've already done that. So Paul is saying, don't get into all the bad stuff. The money, the greed, the power, the position, the murder, the envy. That's lusting after evil things. Don't become evil and do evil things. Verse 7. Neither be idolaters, as were some of them, as is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. So they were worshiping things. Anything that we place above God becomes your number one priority. It could be your job. It could be your business. It could be your ministry. It could be your church. Somebody say amen. Amen. People who worship their church more than they worship God. People who worship their pastor more than they worship Christ. Somebody say amen. It's out of order. It's way out of order. Could be that special person that you would do anything for, including going against the word of God for them. That's idol worship. Verse 8. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, fell in one day, 23,000. So here we go. Fornication includes adultery, homosexuality, bestiality, pornography, lesbianism, pedophilia, molestation, etc. There's some crazy stuff going on out there. And Paul said, what do you do when you're in the wilderness for 40 years? Family, Paul's saying these are, he's saying, look, they did these things. You will get caught. The enemy's not going to change his, he doesn't have to change his script. Because if we're not aware, if we think we're serving God, but we're caught up in some of these things, remember, you're not going, you don't lose your salvation, but you never get to where God is taking you. And that's unacceptable. As a pastor, I have to let you all know, as my flock, I don't know what's going on in other churches, but I'm telling us, family, we can't be deceived out there. It's a lot going on. Be aware, be discerning, be conscious of what the enemy is trying to do. Keep you walking in the mud, keep you wandering in quicksand, going nowhere. And he's not going to have to change his strategy. Because if we look at these things, they still work. On the unbelieving, definitely, and the believing as well. That's why Paul has to give us the word of exhortation, has to give us the warning, don't get caught up. When we were at the couples conference. And so they separated the men from the women and talked to the men. He was talking to the men about the pornography trap. And he was saying, guys, you don't want to play with that. Said it was, he was a clinical psychologist. He was a pastor and a clinical psychologist. He was saying, I'm working with two men that are into bestiality. I don't even know what that's about. Somebody say amen. See, I've been delivered from a lot of stuff, Brother Chad, but thank God that wasn't one of them, okay? Somebody say amen. But family, I'm telling you. We can't play. It's just certain family, we just can't. Paul is saying, what do you do in the wilderness for 40 years and miss out on God? You do whatever you want to do. Whatever your flesh tells you. And these are believers. He's talking to us. I'm saying we have to be mindful of everything that's going on. We have to check ourselves. We have to stay in the word. We have to be accountable. Men, you should have somebody that you're accountable to. Ladies, you should have somebody you're accountable to. that you don't slide off the rails. Somebody who's going to tell you the truth. Somebody's going to get in your face. This is Paul looking eyeball to eyeball saying, look at me. You guys, look, listen up. Are you sure you want to do that? Bless you. Family, we need somebody that we are accountable to. Where you can call and say, look, man, let me run this by you. And then someone's going to say, well, let's go to the Word. And then we got to get into opinions and who's doing what. Let's get to the Word. That's what Paul is saying. So let's wrap this up, okay? Where are we at? Okay, verse 8. And we, like I said, if you go on the website, you look at, you can, we went deep. We went deep into what was going on. Then verse 9, he says, neither let us test Christ. So you test Christ by disrespecting God, by being ungrateful regarding your current condition. They were so tired of eating manna. They were tired of God. You brought us out here to die. God, you this, God, you that. And God said, hold up. You're not supposed to be testing me. You're supposed to be trusting me. Amen. Let me say it again. We're not supposed to be testing God. We're supposed to be trusting God. Leaving the details to God. Then verse 10, said, neither let us tempt Christ. Some of them also tempted and were destroyed of the serpents. That was a pretty interesting story right there. Go look it up. It was very interesting. Verse 10, neither murmur as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. To talk about complaining. We spent a long time on complaining. So for those of you just visiting, you need to know we have a church that doesn't complain. Somebody say amen. We can discuss things, but we don't complain. We found out the root of our complaining is saying that, God, we really don't trust you. We love you, but we don't trust you. And that's always a problem. They were complaining about God. They were complaining about the leadership. And remember, your problem is not with people. Your problem is with God. Because when you're right with God, who cares what people are saying and doing and what they're thinking? Because, you know, God got it covered. I'm not worried about my boss on the job. God, that's easy for God to do. I'm not worried about that. I'm not worried about my wife. I don't worry about God. Got it all taken care of. But when I take my eyes off of God, then everybody's getting on my nerves. And I'm complaining about everything because I'm not trusting God with anything. And that's a problem. So that was verse 10. Says you and I have to trust God as we travel on this wilderness road. You and I will get to the place God has for us in God's time. Here it is again. Look at verse 11. He says, now all these things happen unto them for what? Examples. He says it again. Look, I need you to understand. They went through all this. There are examples of what not to be. It says they're written for our admonition, for our instruction, upon whom the end of the world is come. Until God comes back or until we transition, these are examples of don't be like them. As believers, the world's going to do what the world's going to do, but don't be like them as believers. Get accountable. Fight against that stuff. Be mindful of every trick and scheme. Put on the whole armor of God. Be aware of every trick and scheme that the enemy's trying to play on you and I. So let's finish this up. All right. Verse 12 says, wherefore let him think that he stand, take heed lest he fall. So the one who's saying, man, I don't have to deal with that. I don't have to listen to the word of God. Paul is saying, you're going to be the first one that gets caught up. It ain't going to happen to me. You're going to be the first one that it happens to. Paul is saying, you and I, we have to stay obedient to Christ on this journey. All right, I'm wrapping this up now. Verse 13 says, there has been no temptation. I had to break down the word temptation. Where's that word temptation at? There's been no test Man, look at the word for temptation, right? It's a test. We know that that Satan tempts, but God will test us. All right. So the word tempt, it means a test. It means a trial. It means an affliction. It means adversity. It even means an experiment. And that's something God is experimenting with you right now to see where you at. I didn't get no amens on that. God is saying, I'm going to experiment. I'm going to throw an experiment in your job situation, in your home, in your life, in your kid, in your parent. See how you're going to act. See if you can stay obedient to the word during this experiment, during this test. But look what he says. There has been no experiment or test taken you, but as such is common to man. We all got to deal with these five things, family. It's nothing new. You're not going through anything that someone else hasn't gone through. They went through it way back then in the wilderness, and we go through it right now. I said it's all common.
Yes.
Don't be all down on yourself. You can win. You can get through this. You can live a victorious life. It's common. It's not just you. He said, but God is faithful. Underline that if you don't remember anything else. But God is faithful. You can trust God. You love him, but you got to start trusting him. You can love him and you can trust him. With all the stuff you and I are going through in this wilderness, when we're on the journey to the place that God has taken us to, we can trust God. You're not dealing with anything else they didn't have to deal with. We got the examples. Don't be like them. Get through the wilderness. You can trust God. He's faithful, who will not suffer, will not allow you to be tested above that which you can handle. You're not going to fall apart. You're not going to lose your mind. Don't give up on God. Don't give up on your life. Don't give up on your dreams. He's going to push you to the edge, but he's not going to push you over the edge. Says, but with the same temptation, with the same test, we'll also make a way of escape. Escape. He's going to make an exit. He's going to make a way out. Right where you think you can't take it no more, God's going to say. Family, don't fall apart. And look what it says, too. That you may be able to bear. That word bear means to endure it. Gosh, don't. I know that's not a popular message. God say, deal with it because you can get through it. And he's going to help you. Because he's faithful. As we're going through this whole wilderness, my God, help us out. Because it is a mess. We got all kind of stuff going on, but he says, I'm right there. So let me finish with this. We're dealing with the same five things they were dealing with. However, God is faithful. We can trust God. God will create a way for us to escape the test, and God will give us the strength to endure this wilderness experience. It's written right here, Kathy. Let me finish it like this. God is saying, don't feel sorry for yourself. Don't feel defeated. You can make it. You will make it. You will win. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us just bow our heads just for a minute. Let's just sing one song. I want my worship team to. God, just let us just worship our way. Just connect with you, God, heart to heart. And before you all play, John, let me just say, if anyone's here, bow your heads just for a minute. If anyone's here and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you say, Pastor, I'm not only I'm in the wilderness, I'm not even connected to God. If that's you and you want to get saved this morning, you're not even sure if you're saved, but you want to be sure. If that's you, elevate your hand because I want to pray for you. Anybody here, you say, Pastor, I've never accepted Christ. I'm in the wilderness by myself. My God, I have no help in the wilderness. I don't even know God is faithful because I don't have a relationship with God. If that's you, elevate your hand. I'd love to pray for you. Or maybe you're here, you want to rededicate your life because you've been in the wilderness and you're not doing just one, two, you're doing all five. Say, God, I need to get reconnected. Not because I'm going to go to hell, but because I'm not going to get to the place that you have for me. I don't want to miss what you have for me, God. If you want to rededicate your life this morning, that's just a heart-to-heart connection between you and God. You don't need to raise your hand. You don't need to get up. You just need to say, Lord, forgive me of my sins. The word says God is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. You get right back in fellowship with God. Get connected to a church. Get connected to believers. Stay on the journey. Or maybe you're here and you say, Pastor, I need a place to be. I'm just floating around with no accountability. If you need a church home, elevate your hand if you want to join with us this morning. Lord, we thank you and we bless you and we love you. Thank you, Lord. Sing softly. You can lift your hands. Yes, Lord.